Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Ryan, Martin Scorsese's back. back with another epic bit of cinema. This one is Killers of the Flower Moon, and it's hitting the theaters this Friday. Eventually, it will wind up on Apple TV Plus because it's one of their movies. Let's get this out of the way. Right now, The Irishman was 3 hours and 29 minutes. This is 3 hours and 26 minutes. It's long. He has already commented on cinema versus popcorn type movies. He has also commented on the length of a movie not mattering. We'll discuss whether it matters or not, because I agree with him, generally speaking, that it does not matter how long a movie is as long as it earns that runtime. I said with Oppenheimer, it was 3 hours long and it could have been 45 minutes shorter. And I didn't begrudge him those 45 minutes because it was worth it. So, set in the '20s, the Osage Nation in Oklahoma, oil rush, the Osage tribe becomes the wealthiest per capita people on the planet. And of course the white man doesn't like that. And that brings in Leonardo DiCaprio, comes back from the war, World War One, gets to his uncle, Robert De Niro. And we get a 1920s/30s gangster movie from Martin Scorsese, of all people. What did you think going in? And then we'll transition to what we thought coming out.
Obviously it's a piece of history that's important. I think we live in an age that's trying to kind of cover up the fact that we were not always good people.
Yep.
And I think we need to actually, it's better to acknowledge that, I'm white, I'm Caucasian. And unfortunately, Caucasians in general have a history of being unable to share. I don't know. You could probably find instances for all reasons in that case. But in this case, there is a history of the white man not sharing with the Indian and taking advantage of the Native American and whatnot. And I think this story is a pretty ugly story in that regard. But I do think it's important. It's unusual. It's a different. I mean, you say it's a gangster movie, and that's true. But it's not really like any other gangster movie. Then.
I actually compared Robert De Niro's character in my notes to like a South American drug cartel leader.
Yeah.
He ingratiates himself to the people,
yes,
who he is exploiting or attempting to exploit. Even,
yes,
and he's in it. It's a long con. He got in it early, and he's just in it for the long haul. So he's more cartel than gangster, but
yeah, but it's an interesting, there's a lot of bootlegging of alcohol going on in there, and that's kind of associated with, the gangster stuff too. So yeah, I mean, I didn't really think about it as a gangster film, but it is to a certain degree, absolutely a Southern gangster film, rather than a Chicago gangster film. I think the story is important. I think we need to acknowledge, history and some of the not so great things that we did just as people, I guess, it doesn't even have to be race centered, just as people.
Mm.
So I was optimistic, I guess. You know, I liked The Irishman, although it never occurred to me to watch it a second time.
Right.
So I didn't mind. Well, I think I may have actually watched it twice, but that was it. And it doesn't feel like something I need to return to. It's like something that I experienced and, okay, did that, and I don't regret it, but I don't need to repeat it, really. So I was a little concerned. I had hoped, you know, when I heard that, I didn't realize that this was going to be another 3.5-hour film, and didn't really know that until I sat down and everyone was talking about how it was a 3.5-hour film. that's not entirely true. Because I did see some Scorsese quotes, but I don't think I realized how long the movie was. But, you know, in general, like you, I would say, yeah, I agree. You know, a movie's length isn't determined by, it can't be over 3 hours, or it can't be, it has to be under this. It's determined by how long does it take to tell the story? And can you tell that story in a compelling way, and in this case, can you tell the story in a compelling way for 3.5 hours? Go into how we feel about.
Let's go into how we feel about it. I'm gonna say again. So this movie's 3:26, and you could, without even trying, easily cut 45 minutes off of this film, and it would not change the narrative.
A lot of that would even be like atmospheric shots and things that he just goes to over and over and over again at times.
Yeah.
The visuals that he's using, he just, there's no pace to the film. It's very just, I guess there is a pace. It's called slow.
Yeah. In this one, like I said, in Oppenheimer, you could cut 45 minutes out of that 3-hour runtime. But I don't begrudge him those 45 minutes. Here, you could cut 45 minutes.
No.
And I kind of begrudge him those 45 minutes.
Well, I think you could cut 45 minutes or at least shift a few things. It just doesn't really work as well as I think that he thinks it does.
Right.
I don't think that the story is as presented, as compelling as it actually is, if that makes sense.
No, yeah.
I think there's a lot going on in this story that is really quite interesting, but somehow he slowed it down to the point where those interesting moments are just so lost in this kind of slow trot, and we get Leonardo DiCaprio making faces.
Yeah.
He's got bitter faces. It's like that for the, he's doing his Jack Nicholson. I don't know. Anyway, but.
Let's talk about Leo for a second. We have old Leo now. Leo has won his Oscar. He's old.
Yeah.
He plays this entire film. You said he's doing a grumpy Jack Nicholson. It's his grumpy face. I said his, the way he decides to present himself, he's doing the entire film with his jaw thrust forward. And so that's how he talks. However, that's not the weirdest thing about his performance. A big deal is made about his character having a hernia, although they never actually say that.
Yeah.
He busted his gut and they gave him a belt and he can't do anything strenuous. That is a hernia. Never, ever comes into play.
Nope.
Ever.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Only in the sense that it's like you can be a driver and that's the only thing you can do. But it's almost like, okay, well, that's wasted because, quite frankly, the movie is about him doing nothing.
Or beating people up.
There's some physical activity there that doesn't quite make sense if he's damaged goods. And to be clear, his serving in the war, he was a cook.
Yeah. He was a cook for the infantry. So he did see the war. No one was safe in World War I. Let's be clear about that.
If you were in
uniform, you went through hell in that war. That was probably one of the greatest evils man has ever perpetrated against man on this planet, with the possible exception of the one that happened later in that very specific area that we're not going to talk about. But yeah, World War One, just because he was a cook didn't mean he got off easy. But yeah, so he has a hernia and it doesn't matter. But thanks for telling us he has a hernia. So he's in it, you know, De Niro is De Niro in this. I said coming out, I said Lily Gladstone, who plays Molly, the Osage woman who has head rights for the oil fields, and is the romantic interest of Leonardo DiCaprio. She is easily the best performance in this film. And I see why, because I don't know how she manages to convey so much emotion without ever being emotional. This is the most even-keeled performance I've ever seen in a film, especially of this length. And as ostensibly she should be the central point of the film, it's still told from Leo's point of view.
Yeah.
Which is just weird, because I saw an interview and I got a transcript. They did a media day today and they sent the audio and video and transcript, which I have to look through. But I know I had seen somewhere an interview with Scorsese that said he rewrote it when he realized he was telling it from the incorrect point of view and that it was her story. So he rewrote the screenplay. He needed to rewrite it again, if that's what he was shooting for. But she's awesome in this. She's absolutely awesome in this. But again, the problem is it gets lost behind Leo and in this kind of morass of gorgeous filmmaking that drags on. Yes, I said drags on for 3.5 hours. But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast, same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show. And then conversely, as I also pointed out right after the filming last night, this film is paradoxically entirely too long and completely rushed at the end.
Yeah.
Because of the way he chooses to impart all of the post-event information. And it just kind of rushes it. So weirdly, it's both way too long and too short. Or it finishes too soon. I honestly think, you know, a lot of us were talking about this. This needed to be 6 or 7 or 8 hours on television as a series. And then a lot of the extraneous stuff could have been cut.
Well, and my comment about that would be is yes, maybe, but only the pace would still be an issue.
Yes.
If you were able to break it up into hour long, you know, segments, would that mask some of the pacing issues? Yes, but it wouldn't fix them.
No, but you would cut it different if you were doing it that way, and you could.
I would hope so.
And you could delve a little deeper to get it to 6 or 7 or 8 hours of runtime. So I think the pacing.
I think maybe a 2-hour film would be pretty good too.
You probably could have told this in 2 hours, because it does it covers a long period of time. It covers from just post World War One up to the late 30s, maybe.
Yeah, it's got to be around there.
Yeah, so it's there's a chunk. I mean, it doesn't quite get to World War II, but I mean, there's a chunk. I mean, when the FBI comes to the town, to finally investigate why all of these Osage people are dying and being killed. And I mean, clearly being killed and no investigations are ever done. J. Edgar Hoover is in charge. So we're at least to the Hoover era by the time we get to the end of this film. But it said, I don't want people to think I don't like the film, but people are calling it a masterpiece. And I'm not going to use that word because A, it's thrown around entirely too much, but also because I don't think this is it. I think it's a good film, but, I think De Niro is just De Niro. I think Leo is good, not great. And it's too long and it's paced badly. You're right. It is paced entirely too slowly. So,
yeah, I felt every minute of that movie.
Oh yeah.
And it wasn't like halfway through I started to feel it was very early on. It was like, oh my, okay, well, hopefully, you know, we pick up some steam at some point, and it just never does. And I think it undercuts any sort of tension, really, that's supposed to be there. Because I felt disconnected from the characters and the story. And there was that part of me that's like, oh yeah, this is awful, this is terrible. But it wasn't like I was experiencing it. It was like I was reading it in a history book.
Right.
That it was like, I just wasn't immersed in it. You know, and so I was taking in a lot of the information, but the information was coming at half speed. You know, I can read twice as fast as the information is coming to me. So it's like watching the words scroll across the screen.
Right.
And you're like, okay, next. Yep. Okay. All right. You know,
page forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to say this. I mean, because Is it well shot? Yes. Is the cinematography good? Yes. But fundamentally, I have a hard time calling this a good film because of the pacing issues. That are just it's throughout the entire thing. And so while I can tell you I think there's a lot of good in that, I really don't know that I would recommend the film to a lot of people. I think it would be, okay, going in, you need to realize this is 3.5 hours and it's slow the entire time.
Yeah.
And that to me is not a recommendation. That's straight up a warning. You know, you're going to have to really work through this. And you know, Oppenheimer was long, but again, like you said, It had a tempo to it, or it even changed tempos. And it had, you know, you could argue again that it was 2.5 movies, where the last hour is a totally different movie. But it had at least something to it, you know, a rhythm.
Well, there was some forward motion.
Dragging. Yeah.
In Oppenheimer, and this, yeah, there was forward motion, but it was a leisurely stroll at best. I mean, this thing was moving no faster than De Niro could walk in this movie. Cause Bob's getting old.
Yeah.
And he was showing it out there. Considering he would have aged 20 years in the course of this film. You almost feel like you age with him, but, I think it's a better film than you think it is, but I don't, it is not a masterpiece.
Well,
there's a great film in here. Maybe. This is not it.
Somewhere in there. Maybe. I just, I mean, the score to me was almost, it just doesn't, like, I can't tell you anything about the score.
It was very minimal and I don't remember much of it.
Yeah. I don't, you know, and maybe that is part of the problem. It itself didn't have a rhythm. I guess not ever knowing who Leonardo's character really is or what he's, I mean, it's strange because I have no idea what this guy is thinking most of the time. And while sometimes that's not an issue, in this film, it's a huge issue for me because intent matters.
Oh God, yes.
And the fact that I can't determine the intent, well, on one hand, that's kind of interesting, but in the case of this film, it doesn't add to the film. It's actually a distraction of me not knowing what he is ever thinking.
Right.
And that to me, I guess, you know, I guess the character isn't as defined as I would like him to be. But you're right. You know, there's one really great performance in this film, and it's a nuanced performance, and you know, it comes from the person the story should be about, like you said. You know, when she, the long suffering woman who was wise, who sees a con as it's coming.
Yep.
And then sort of decides, it might be a con. Maybe it's a fun one, you know, or maybe it's worth it or whatever. Right. You know, I actually like the character there quite a bit because there's a dynamic.
To her and him, there's a weird, an interplay there. And again, this based on a true story. So it's just a weird thing, you know, and it's also a strange story in that, you know, up until, you know, if this had happened before the turn of the century, if they'd have discovered oil before the turn of the century, the government probably would have moved the Osage again out of that spot. But it was at a point where they couldn't again. And so they wound up with all that money. So the white man had to figure out a different way to try to get hold of that wealth. And that, of course, was through marriage and inheritance and everything else. So it's an interesting story, which sounds weird to say, because it's been used throughout time. I mean, royal families, nobility, you know, marriage and inheritance, you know, India, you know, with dowry, it's effectively that story, except this here with the Osage, it was like an industry with a violent offshoot. And that's what makes the story so compelling, but the movie doesn't really do it justice. You know, it's a few events separated by long stretches of cool cinematography.
And it feels like it's not really, I mean, I know it's a part of history and it's taking place with history, but it almost feels like it's reluctant to connect itself with history. At least history outside of what was going on right there, which is strange because it's incredibly important, you know, and it does acknowledge, you know, some of the race riot type elements, but it doesn't really incorporate it. It's kind of like the hernia. It brings it up and you're like, oh, okay, that, you know, that's going to give this, you know, the story some different point of view or context or whatnot. And then it just doesn't.
It's just weird. I, for all the buildup to it, all of the, again, the stress on how it was made, you know, with so much involvement from the community, you know, DiCaprio and De Niro both learned to speak Osage well. And so did Lily Gladstone, cause she didn't either. She didn't speak it either, even though she's Native American. So, the amount of work, the amount of, you know, indigenous casting they had, the indigenous crew, it's a laudable effort for a great story that needs to be told. And I don't think it's the best version of the movie.
No, it needs to be told better.
Yeah. That's weird. We just said that somebody needs to make it better than Scorsese just did.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, Marty. Yeah.
You know, and I know that sounds ridiculous. But you know, not everything that he touches is perfect. You know, I love a lot of his work. But if you're going to, you know, talk about how the length is, you know, if you're going to talk about the length of a film, that should not probably be the, you know, that's the one thing you're defending, and that's the hill you're going to die on. That probably should not be the weakest part of your movie.
Right. So, yeah, it's just strange. You're right. I don't know who I would recommend it to unless you're a Scorsese purist or completist and you want to see it on the big screen. I think they're going to release it in IMAX. Is that right?
I don't know. I mean, it's a beautiful film. And so there's that part of me that's like, yeah, you should see it on a big screen. But there's also that part of me that thinks maybe watching at home, you can watch it in chunks.
Right.
And maybe it's better if you can just watch it in chunks. Which, you know, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
I
mean, you know,
it feels like it's not what Scorsese wants. That's exactly what he doesn't want.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so hard for me to think, well, maybe that's the only way this works, is if you do exactly what he doesn't want you to do.
Yeah, exactly. Just a quick, you know, this movie's 14 minutes longer than Avatar: The Way of Water. And this film kind of does the same thing that Way of Water did, which is give you a lot of, again, beautiful cinematography. I will allow that this film has way more story and character behind it than Avatar. So there is that, as much as I despised Avatar, but it's still, people can call it a masterpiece and they're wrong. It's not.
I would just love to be able to say, yeah, it's long, but it's worth it.
Right.
I didn't feel that way watching it. I don't feel that way looking back on it. I don't think it's an awful film, and I guess I should stress that, you know, I mean, this is, it's good, but I do think when, you know, you're Scorsese and you put the bar extremely high and you are very outspoken about your opinions of cinema, sometimes you got to back it up, and I don't know that this backs it up.
No, he should have put an intermission in there, 10 minutes in the middle or at the 2 hour mark. Yeah.
But still that doesn't fix the pacing.
Like, no,
it almost, that would almost acknowledge it.
That's true. Maybe that's why he didn't. Well, aside from the fact that he's a purist, but whatever. Hey, we have more movies to watch this week. Two tomorrow. I don't know which of them you're seeing.
The latter.
So yeah, it's an A24 film. Both of them tomorrow are A24 films. And then next week we have four screenings. Including, and I'll spoil everyone, we have Friday Night at Freddy's, or Five Nights at Freddy's. Sorry, I don't play the games, so I didn't have it in front of me. But yeah, so I am more actually interested in seeing The Killer, the Fassbender assassin movie. I want to see if they manage to make that format work. Because those movies go hit or miss. I'm hoping that one works out. But yeah, so we've got four next week, and then we're going to be getting into four-year consideration season, which Killers of the Flower Moon is already a four-year consideration entry, but we're going to be starting to hit those. So we're going to start seeing the Oscar bait, the awards bait that they can't push till next year, even though they're going to start pushing more films till next year, it looks like. If they don't get off their butts in Hollywood sometime soon. So, but yeah, so that unfortunately is how we feel about Killers of the Flower Moon, which we both wanted more and we both did not get it. So, until we talk to you again, don't forget to like us, follow us on social media. You know how all that works. And until we see you again, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See you guys.
And we will talk to you all later.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.